fire. The end of the sunset on the East River Drive to the pretty little city on the Delaware. The Philadelphia chickens are sure to be there. All the Philadelphia chickens will be dancing tonight. Thousands of chickens in the pale moonlight.
That, they can't sit still. That clip that he just ran about the bee venom. I was never satisfied about how all that came out. Because we wound up talking to a guy who, I mean, there's something called apitherapy, A-P-I, apitherapy, and it's bee-related, bee-venom-related therapy. And it's bee products that are make you healthier.
Honey.
Well, not just honey, no, I think bee venom was part of it. I don't know, we tried to get an apitherapist on and we couldn't.
Bee venom?
And then this guy came out, and said that, like, the bees had to sting you for it to do you any good? Like, the bees to sting you on your knee or something like that?
Well, wouldn't you if you had bee, how do you get the bee venom otherwise?
I want it, like, in daiquiri form, you know,
I don't want bees
stinging my knee. I want, like, a frozen bee venom daiquiri.
I think you gotta put a little something into it. I mean, you got to be willing to give up on it.
And so, but I don't even know that guy was the. I mean, who knows? He could have been some psycho killer for all we know.
Well, that's true.
We don't know whether he really knew anything about apitherapy or not. I just don't feel as though we really ever resolved that.
Well, how do we resolve it then?
I don't know. We can't get an. Does anybody out there know somebody who could come on and explain apitherapy to us? Because Bobby contacted, you know, a bunch of apitherapists. They were very suspicious of us, and I think it's because in a lot of countries, apitherapists are persecutors. In Morocco, if you practice apitherapy, they'll cut your head off.
No. That could be a real
thing. They'll nail your hiney to a coffee table. Because who knows why? You know why? Because Islam, it's an abomination to eat from the bee's hiney. It's an abomination. It's filth.
And the teachings of Islam, I doubt that the words coffee table are actually written in there.
They hate
I could be wrong.
They hate our apitherapy. It's not our freedom they hate. They hate our apitherapy.
Well, Haney's going to be talking to you about that in a minute.
So I think they're very reluctant.
Don't say bee hiney anymore, okay? Don't talk about bee hiney.
This is not going
to
be.
But there's Meet the Fockers. There's like a movie called Meet the Fockers. I can't talk about bee hiney. Should we talk to John from Farmington? I don't know what this is about.
John?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay,
great.
I just got done reading the paper, and again, the state of Connecticut with this motor vehicle license deal.
At that point. Anyway, thanks for your call. Can we get Gail on here before we lose her?
I think we have an extra minute.
All right. Even better, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Gail, hi.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Yes, a few years ago, the bee sting is used actually with MS and multiple sclerosis and stuff like that.
So really, it's a serious disease.
It is used, and it just hasn't been brought to the forefront, but I've read it in like almost every health magazine or seen it on various websites, but it is true. Whether they milk the bees now to get their venom out like they do with snakes, I don't know, but...
It seems to me that the disease
actually getting stung.
Yeah,
but
the diseases you're talking about are bad enough that I don't have bees stinging you all the time.
Well,
you know?
I think something to do with the venom is actually work some of the nervous system
I can believe something like that. I think that's a very.
Why don't we bring some bees in here and you could like maybe try it out?
That's what I don't want to do.
Want to do that.
No.
No, because you could have allergic reactions, but right. I mean, it has to be something that's really, you know, I can understand its form and its. You know, it's certainly probably something down the road would be extremely good for people that have these type of problems.
I've got pretty bad arthritis in one of my knees.
Yeah, I don't know if it's for that. I think it's more for neurological.
I thought I encountered something about arthritis in bees, but I'm not having bees sting my knee, for God's sakes.
Come on, step it up.
No, I'm not.
Godless.
I'll have it like in Restoro or something. Well, several people have reminded me of movies that I left off my top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting Neverland was one of them, and another one was Garden State. I forget that I'd even seen Garden State. That was a good movie. Here's an interesting thing. Garden State had the best soundtrack. Although I saw Shrek 2 last night, and those Shrek movies, they always have great soundtracks. They always have, like, mm-hmm. terrific things. And the movie that should be sort of required viewing for everyone who listens to this show, it's not going to be a very popular movie. But if you listen to the show and if you enjoy the show, which is to say, there's something wrong with you, You'll probably enjoy The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, which is the new Bill Murray movie directed by the great Wes Anderson. And it's really funny. It's kind of a mess, but it's really funny. And it has a great soundtrack, which mostly consists of David Bowie songs being sung in Portuguese.
Let me write that down.
Yeah. But it's good. It works. The a U.S. physicist is lobbying for people to adopt his novel calendar, in which every date falls on the same day of the week each year. In other words, your birthday would, you know, would always come on a Wednesday or something. You wouldn't have to wonder when your birthday was going to come. The current calendar, which runs for 365 days, as you know, was instituted by Pope Gregory in 1582 to distract people from pedophilia in the priesthood. No, that's not why he did it. But don't you love the fact that Pope John Paul can't even crack down on this one guy who's got ties to him and stuff like that? I mean, drop the hammer on this guy. But that's a different subject. And so anyway, Pope Gregory, 1582. And it was put to bring the length of the year in line with the seasons. But because the Earth actually orbits the sun every day, every 365.24 days, that's why every once in a while we have to have a 366 day a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because we got a quarter of a
only
day.
Only way you can handle
we're
it, really.
Piling up a quarter of a day. Well, but that means you need new calendars every year. Because the dates aren't very confusing.
Which is exactly the reason that it'll never be changed.
Yeah. So this guy, Dick Henry, is a physicist at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. He came up with a calendar that uses 364 days, which breaks down evenly into 52 weeks. And each month contains 30 or 31 days. He decided, it doesn't matter how he did this. And so 8 months have different lengths than they do now. March, June, September, and December would each have 31 days, while the other months would all get 30. And he inserted an extra week, which is not part of any month, every 5 or 6 years. That's
pretty sick.
And he named the edition Newton Week in honor of Isaac Newton. Newton Week sales. Five or 6 years, there's a whole week that doesn't fall in any month.
Tax-free.
Yeah.
Tax-free. The sales tax-free.
Gravity-free, too. I would
gravity-free, yes.
He said, if I had my way, everyone would get Newton Week off as a paid vacation. They could spend the time doing physics or other activities of their choice. He happens to be a physicist. And what else? And despite this incentive, he says he has encountered resistance to his plan.
Of course he has.
Some naysayers such as yourself.
I'm not a naysayer. I'm just saying because of the fact
that
every year, new calendars come out. Right. Think of the money that people make off that.
On a Saturday, you might not like that.
Well, would you? Saturdays are much more...
Well, that's the thing. I mean, certain people would have certain kinds of advantages. Anyway, I'm just bringing this up. It's just another way of thinking. One of the things that this show is, it's a crucible for out-of-the-box thinking. We're always looking for...
Speaking of that.
Thanking new ideas. All right, let's talk to somebody who's out of the box. There's somebody who's out of a ward, actually. There's a little bit more like it. Joining us now from the planet Chulak is Locutus. What?
Yeah. Phil, Colin.
What?
Phil, Colin, let me ask you a question here, Colin.
What?
Are you and all your scumbag Democrat friends still celebrating John Rowland's downfall there?
What? What scumbag Democrat friend?
I mean, you haven't gone and looked up any of where his relatives are buried and, you know, like, desecrated a grave or anything yet, have you?
No, we haven't done that. We've been very charitable about the whole thing.
Considering there was no crime and there was no corruption.
I plan to visit him in prison. Why do you plead guilty if there was no crime? Huh? Borg, smarty pants?
Lots of people plead guilty for things that they never actually did because it's just easier than just going through the whole turmoil of a trial.
Going to prison is easier?
Yeah.
I don't follow your logic.
It's crazy, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Colin, one other thing here,
What?
Let me ask you a question here, okay?
Yeah. You still like me?
Yeah, I like you.
You like me?
I think I personally like you. I mean, your politics is revolting.
No, that's true, but we could probably enjoy other activities, don't you think?
Why don't you go dancing?
Would you like to go out? Not dancing with me, but I mean, would you like to go...
I don't do that socializing baloney.
Yeah, you want to go...
You could be a producer here, then.
Yes, right.
I wouldn't want that.
How about we could just go to Bernie's and look at some of the new appliances? That can be a fun activity.
You should figure that out for yourself.
All right.
You should be able to. Anyway, Carl, let me ask you one other question here.
What?
You know, remember back, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, right?
Still kind of rejected that, yeah.
Okay, well, oh, you know, back at, the Watergate era.
Yeah.
All of your usual suspect liberal Democrat friends,
yeah,
were all going and running around, and because a lot of the Watergate so-called associates.
Is this going to be over before Bruce Williams comes on?
Yeah, it's going to be over.
Right.
Had written books after they had gone to prison.
Books, okay.
Also for doing nothing, by the way.
Bastard, pussycat, kill. Come on, let's go here.
So all these liberals were running around and going, saying, "Don't buy books, buy crooks." Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now this bimbo no good Nick Amber Fry, who was Scott Peterson's, you know, little girlfriend or whatever there,
yeah,
he's written his book. So I've kind of gone to use the don't buy books by crooks.
Yeah.
Don't buy books by scumbag lying bimbo whores like Amber Fry.
Well, that rolls off the tongue.
You know? I mean, actually, I'd use a stronger word, but I won't use it on the radio.
I don't think it's that entirely fair. Her book is an epic poem that she's been working on for 7 years. So it's not really quite the same as the other thing that you're talking about.
By the way,
it's a complex, heraldic, epic poem translated out of Old Low Norse. This woman's a scholar.
Could I say something?
Yes.
Never, ever, I'm even going to know this now, never, ever take Sports Etoile off the air ever again.
I do this all the time.
I think they probably do like a little variety.
I just bring it up because it's a new idea. Somebody called up and wanted to know what my top 10 movie list is. It's number one, the best movie was A Hero, which is a Chinese sword fighting movie. It's great. It was so beautiful, it made my jaw drop. Sideways was number two.
Sword fighting?
Oh, it was incredible, really. I mean, it's sword fighting, but I mean, that doesn't, the sword fights are so, they're gorgeous. You weep.
Gorgeous sword fights.
They are beautiful. Oh, there was one fight where the guys are like knocking a drop. Bobby, you saw it, didn't you? Yeah, it really is.
You're using Bobby as a reference?
Well, it was the only person around.
Oh, okay.
But I knew that he'd seen it. I think I may have made him go see it. I can't remember. But then when Bobby saw it, somebody freaked out. Wasn't that when somebody freaked out in the movie theater and was screaming?
Yeah, that's right. Some guy slapped a kid because he was making too much noise.
But that's not the message of the movie. The message of the movie is don't slap people just because they make too much noise. It's a very peace-oriented movie. Number two is Sideways. I'll just run through them. I can defend them later. My controversial choice, number three, is Door on the Floor, which about 18 people saw in the world. It's Jeff Bridges and Kim Basinger, an adaptation of some John Irving material. Napoleon Dynamite is number four. Eat your ham, Tina. I Heart Huckabees is number five. Million Dollar Baby, which is the new Clint Eastwood movie that none of you have seen yet, is number six. Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. I know it's a mess, but it's number seven. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It's like Howard Dean. It's easier to admire than it is to love. Is number eight. I don't know. I think they have two number eights. That's a problem. The number nine would be a combination of Fahrenheit 9/11 and then the Paris Hilton sex video. Two documentaries that had a big impact on American culture. And then rounding them all out is Spider-Man 2, The Incredibles, and Finding Neverland, all tied at 10. Musical idea.
All right, Jeff.
Hey, no, it's actually Joe in Covington. But how you guys doing? Happy New Year.
We're fine. How are you?
Good. Yeah, you know, the greatest thing about the New Year is we don't have to hear Mannheim Steamrollers.
Oh, man. That is so bad. That's like, you know, if the Nazis had Christmas music.
Yeah, and Wendy Carlos, Walter Carlos on steroids.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I'm ready to play some Christmas carols now. Hey!
Yeah, and also, what are they thinking? It's Christmas music, and is it a steamroller, a bong?
Yeah, well, that's a different kind of thing. But maybe that's what it is to the Mannheim steamroller guys, too. It would explain why anybody likes it, I can tell you that much. But it really is, it's like something out of a Heinrich Himmler Christmas special or something. Before we bring out Eva Braun, how about one more song by Mannheim steamroller? All right, go ahead anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing more square than the steamroller.
Thanks for letting me vent about that. What was your music? Yeah. No, Nellie McKay was great. We listened to a lot of Nellie McKay, and we played it on the show and stuff like that.
Good, I want to talk to you about movies now.
All right, okay.
I cannot believe that you overlooked Ray and Kinsey.
I didn't see Kinsey.
You didn't see Kinsey?
No.
Oh, my God, you've deprived.
Yeah. No,
Ray,
I want to see Kinsey.
How could you not mention Ray, the best movie of 2004?
I don't think Ray's that good, actually.
Did you see it?
Yes, I saw it. Well, what do you want? I mean, basing this out of my hiney?
I can't believe it's not in your top ten.
You know what?
You're a little snippy with some of the people
here. Simone is very opinionated.
Well,
she's got very nerves. That's a point of pride for her, the fact that she would get on my nerves. That makes her happy. This is how happy she is.
That's right. I'm much happier than usual.
She'll go to bed happy tonight.
How about Festival Express? You didn't mention that.
I didn't see that.
Oh, now that you missed a good movie film. How about Garden State?
Garden State, I just said I regretted leaving Garden State off my list, and it really is a great movie.
Okay, how about Super Size Me?
Didn't see it.
That was a very good documentary.
Yeah.
About, you know, the McDonald's and the guy went on a McDonald's diet.
No, I know. He put on weight and his cholesterol went up.
He was much worse than that. He
had a heart attack.
And you failed to mention, and you with your Buddhist leanings, I'm surprised that you didn't mention, I think it's called Spring, Summer.
Oh, we did talk about that before, earlier on the show, before you tuned in. Back a few hours ago when you weren't getting on someone else's nerve. we did mention that movie, the Buddhist movie, Spring, Summer, Winter, Fall. It's called Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring. It has nothing to do with the princess on Howdy Doody, by the way. A lot of people showed up thinking it's her, she's back, she's more bootylicious than ever. But it has nothing to do with her. It's called Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring. That's what it's called. And you might be interested to know there's a sequel coming out called Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring, and Summer. And it's all the monks are coming back, plus Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's good.
Okay, you're like the fourth person in the universe who would even laugh at that joke.
You didn't even mention Shrek 2.
Shrek 2 is good. I watched Shrek 2 last night. I don't think it's as good a movie in the animated level. I don't think it's as good as The Incredibles.
I didn't see The Incredibles, but I did see Door on the Floor. I saw everything on your list except for Napoleon.
Yeah.
And
Napoleon
Dynamite.
Are you still teaching high school?
Yeah, but I'm still on medical leave right now.
Looking
forward to getting back, but I have been getting out to the movies because it's one of the few things I can do.
Sure the psychiatrists are going to clear you to teach very soon, but the Napoleon Dynamite would help you understand your students a lot better.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's like a Rosetta Stone for those little freaks. Going to with him to a movie, I happen to have seen, for example, The Hours with him. You know, you want to go see a movie that depressing when somebody's that depressed? When you're depressed, too, I mean, it's just, you know, it's, and he won't go see scary movies with me anymore, and now my son won't either, because I scream like a little girl. My son, who for a long time lobbied for me to take him to scary movies, now will not go with me, because in his words, he says to me, because you scream like a little girl. If he really wants to see The Darkness right now, which is scary movie with Anna Paquin, won't go with me. I mean, I don't want to go anywhere.
So it's a win-win thing for you then.
Yeah. I get scared at movies that aren't even that scary. I saw that horrible Sarah Michelle Gellar movie, The Grudge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to movies like that. I have no interest in it. I don't go.
Commercials about people who leak when they laugh. I leaked like seven times during that movie.
That's a little more information I think we really need to hear. But I don't know. Some people might enjoy it. I don't.
But I went to see 28 Days with, no, 28 Days Later, whatever it's called, the one where the people eat each other's flesh. And it was so scary, I went to see that one with Curry, and I screamed so much that he was actually embarrassed. He was embarrassed to be sitting next to me. Because I've also turned into the, you know what I hate? I can't watch the movies where people pop out, or things pop out of closets, where people open doors and there's something behind it. I just can't do that anymore. I sit there in my seat and I go,
I don't remember which one of these movies it came from, but remember the line, it's only a movie?
Yeah.
Just keep telling yourself it's only a movie.
Yeah.
It's only a damn movie. Why do you get that excited about it?
It doesn't make any difference. I still wet myself. And when I wet myself, it's not a movie.
Don't, please.
It's real life. All right, we have to take these calls here. Well, we don't have to, but we might want to.
Penn's product placement. Do you want to?
Sure.
Which one would you like to start with?
I don't care. They're all the same.
All right, here's Kevin in a car. Kevin?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Just lovely.
Camper Van Beethoven just put out a new album.
Camper Van Beethoven put out a new album? Really?
Yeah. 15 years in the making. They got back together.
I was going to say, I mean... Are the Trogs, do they have something coming out too? This proves my theory, which is that no group ever completely disbands.
Right.
You know, I mean, somewhere tonight, probably at the Mohegan Sun, but somewhere tonight, Quicksilver Messenger Service is performing, you know? I mean, if there's one drummer, you know, with, like, three fingers left from the band who's still alive. They can control the trademark. They're out there. They're out there playing their songs.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I don't mean to put Camper Van Beethoven necessarily in that category, but no band ever completely disappears. Anyway, thank you very much.
Okay. Mark in Newington. Mark.
Yeah, hi. Colin.
Yes.
You guys are losing your touch a little bit along the edge here on your professionalism, I think, here. Three times it's happened now in the last 2 days. Two times today, this morning. You guys did it this morning with Ray and Diane, too.
What was it?
The thing with bloggers.
What about it?
You guys have been talking about them, about how it's been a big thing in 2004. I think Ray and Diane mentioned how 28% of the people don't know what they are, and you guys have mentioned it, too, and I'm waiting there. And now three times in two days, WTIC, you guys have not told anybody what they are.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what they are now, but just out of curiosity, do you couch most of your questions in that sort of castigating, blame-ridden kind of, you know?
I'm just kind of frustrated now. Three times in 2 days on
I was just wondering, in terms of your personal interactions, like when people sort of say, you know, could you just ask me the question without sort of trying to make me feel really bad while you're asking the question?
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I'm fine. You know, I'm a talk show host. I have no feelings. But I was thinking about the other people in your life, you know, when you're doing this. But basically, blogs are internet websites that contain the reflections and comments by people, by any person who feels like setting something like that up. You know, they can basically set up what amounts to their own little mini magazine on the web. And most bloggers post their comments periodically. Like every day. And they often intermingle political observations with personal observations. They, they're sort of halfway between diaries and commentary sites. And they really do range in content from, you know, guys who have blogs that are entirely about how they want their ex-girlfriend to dump them to think that they're getting a lot of sex now. And so they, or you know, guys who are just, or people who are totally interested in politics. So, but, you know, in a lot of cases, the bloggers have been willing to undertake news stories that conventional mainstream media has not. And that's what I think that made them interesting last year. We have to go, but we'll be back. We'd like to thank our very fine producer, Mr. Bobby Sherwood.